You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, June the 25th. And this hour, it's our state capitol report. We'll update you on what our state government is up to, and we will look ahead to the week to come as to what the state legislature will be doing. Our guest, Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we welcome your participation. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I know one of the things that we will spend quite a bit of time on, maybe much of our second half hour, is talking about Senate Democrats today unveiling their proposal for comprehensive health care reform. We'll get a preview on what that's all about and talk about its chances with Sean Johnson. But first, Sean, good morning, by the way.
Morning, Joy.
Let's talk about what happened last week. Last week during the state capitol report, we talked about this Frankenstein veto and a hearing that was going to be held on the proposal to at least limit the use of the Frankenstein veto. It's actually a proposed constitutional amendment. How'd that go?
Yeah, well, the Frankenstein veto has been dubbed as basically what's going to give the governor, you know, most of the power when it comes right down to passing this budget. He has extensive power to veto out individual words, to create new sentences. Last year he did that, vetoed several hundred words in order to create a new sentence that gave his administration more control and transferred $400 million out of the road fund. So there's this plan that would scale it back as being sponsored by a few lawmakers, including Republican Senator Sheila Harsdorf. She says that the governor's power now results in budgets that look nothing like what passes the legislature, and the plan she's sponsoring would help change that.
This is about maintaining integrity in the budget process, and it's about maintaining balance between the legislative and the executive branches of government. This is absolutely essential that we fix this.
And this isn't
what
the
this
first
veto has allowed, what the use of the Frankenstein veto has allowed, it's made a mockery out of the legislative process.
Didn't mean to interrupt the senator there.
So this is something that's been proposed several times at the Capitol. And what always messes it up is basically it gets mired down in partisanship, where the side that controls the governor's office, the party that controls the governor's office, doesn't really want to give that power up. And they end up slowing these plans down. But this is a situation where Democrats, who are in that position right now, have also accused the other side of partisanship, saying that the only reason Republicans are bringing this bill is because Democrat Jim Doyle's in the governor's office. So some Democrats hinted again that they'd be open to Harsdorf's proposal as long as it's changed to take effect after the end of Governor Jim Doyle's current term. Here's Democratic Senator Pat Kreitlow.
You can take a lot of the partisanship out of this debate right now if you simply make it clearly understood that these veto powers are reduced following the next gubernatorial election, so that whoever wins, Governor Doyle or some other Democrat or some other Republican, know that starting with their next gubernatorial term, these are the powers. We're not going to tinker with some governor's powers in the middle of his term, be he Democrat or Republican.
And when we talked about this last week, Sean, with you and with State Senator Fred Risser, there was some people complaining that this proposed constitutional amendment doesn't go far enough.
Yeah, which you hadn't really heard much of recently. I really do think that this issue boils down to sort of a power struggle. But this is something that came out in the public hearing. Where some of the critics of this plan, who support the idea in principle, who support the idea of scaling back the governor's veto power, say that this plan is not the one to do it. The League of Women Voters testified. Director Andrea Kaminsky said that the governor's veto power needs to be scaled back, but she questioned whether this would be the plan for it.
As it is written, it would not eliminate the governor's ability to create new programs or taxation through a partial veto. We're concerned about having an amendment go on the ballot, and voters think that if they pass the amendment, it will solve the problem. only for them to find out that it still falls far short.
Yeah, and because this would still allow the governor, if there was a line, a sentence that said, thou shalt not do this, the governor could still cross out not
right.
and change it to thou shalt do this.
Yeah, yeah, thou shalt not kill is sort of the example that's given for effect. Right, he could still cross out a word in a sentence and change its meaning.
But what this proposed amendment would do was make it, he would not be able to cross out bunches of words and paragraphs and then like link two sentences together.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, you could take a right now with the governor's veto power, any newspaper article, for example, and just cross out all but 15 words to create a new sentence to your liking.
Yeah. So after the hearing, what happened?
Nothing
or what
yet.
Will
I
happen?
Mean, yeah, nothing yet. Mm. And whatever does happen, it's not going to matter for this budget. This plan needs to pass the legislature. It needs to pass two sessions of the legislature. It's already passed last session. But that was when Republicans controlled both chambers. So it's got to do that. And even at that point, it needs to go before voters. I think what Democrats want to do is put that off until 2010 so that it doesn't affect Governor Jim Doyle. He'd still have this power during this budget and during the next one.
Well, let's check our weather forecast and let's ask listeners, what do you want to see happen with this proposed constitutional amendment to limit the governor's veto power to get rid of this so-called Frankenstein veto? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. And speaking of the state budget, we'll talk about what's in store for the state budget coming up this week in the legislature and more as our state capitol report continues. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned coming up this afternoon after 3 on Here on Earth Radio Without Borders. Gene Faraca will talk with a guest, a philosopher, about being a world citizen and the ethics in a world of strangers. That's coming up on Here on Earth this afternoon after 3 o'clock. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock right now. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. Every Monday at this time, we review the news of the week from the state capitol and look forward to the week to come as well. Our guest, Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We welcome you to call in with a question or a reaction to what our state lawmakers are up to. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We just heard about this hearing that was held last week on the so-called Frankenstein veto, a proposed constitutional amendment to limit the Frankenstein veto, the partial veto powers of the governor. The same committee, Sean, also held a hearing on sick leave for lawmakers and whether or not this benefit should remain or not.
Yeah, they held a hearing on the Senate Democrats' proposal, which would take away the sick leave benefit just for lawmakers, as opposed to one that passed the Republican-controlled assembly, which would apply to all elected officials. And, just to review, that whenever lawmakers have unused sick days, which a recent investigation found they have a lot of them where they don't claim sick days, they can use those toward credits to buy health insurance when they retire, when they leave legislative service. So this would take that perk away. The Democratic sponsors basically say, we kind of have a different job than mm-hmm. the rest of the world. And, we got to respect that this type of benefit isn't available to the average person in the workforce. That's been kind of their claim.
Yeah.
The Republicans say you still need to include all elected officials in this.
They want judges and DAs and others to be included.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's the plan that they passed several months ago now, I think.
So next step for this?
It hasn't passed committee yet. It just had a public hearing. It has to pass the Senate. It has to go to the Assembly. I don't know what's going to happen if both sides will resolve their differences on this. This seems to be what you'd call the cleaner bill, the more targeted bill, maybe the compromise bill that would get both sides together. But it does set up a situation where if both sides are really firm on their belief, that you could have both of them do something, or both of them pass something and nothing actually become law.
Yeah. Well, we will be previewing some of the week to come a little bit later in the state capitol report. But what else happened last week that is worth noting here?
Well, toward the end of the week, you had the Wisconsin and Minnesota reached a deal on tuition reciprocity. And this is something where Wisconsin residents right now, and this has been going on for 40 years, where Wisconsin residents who go to Minnesota can pay Wisconsin tuition rates. Minnesota residents who go to Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, can pay Minnesota tuition rates. The problem was, from Minnesota's perspective, Wisconsin's tuition was getting too low and compared to
too
theirs.
Low.
Yeah, yeah, you don't hear that very often, but it's lower than the University of Minnesota. So you had a situation where a Wisconsin student could be sitting right next to a Minnesota student in a classroom, and you know, they're both going to the same school, and one's paying less because they're from Wisconsin. Basically, that would continue under this deal that was reached on Friday between a tentative deal. The difference is that the state of Wisconsin would kick in the rest of the money to cover the difference and send that money directly to the University of Minnesota, so they're not losing out on this.
Oh, okay. The other thing I saw in the papers anyway last week, this Dennis Troja reached some sort of, was it a plea agreement with his prosecutors?
Yeah. Mm. Dennis Troja is the Kenosha businessman who was basically the driving force behind the proposed Kenosha casino. He's also been very active politically, given to candidates, Republican and Democrat. And he's been, for Governor Jim Doyle, he's been his biggest political donor. So this plea agreement, he basically pleaded guilty to a couple misdemeanors for illegally funneling campaign contributions to the National Democratic Party and President Bush. And under the plea deal, he admits to funneling somewhere between $30,000 and $70,000to those sources. That's less than what was originally alleged in the first indictment. And that's something that Troja's attorney, Franklin Gimbel, noted when he talked to Wisconsin Public Radio.
I think that it's fair to say that the revised charges accurately indicate what, in fact, he did that was illegal, and it's significantly less egregious than the original indictment.
And I think this is a situation, Gimbel hinted that he kind of benefited from the Georgia Thompson case recently, which was prosecuted by U.S. Attorney Stephen Biskupic, the same U.S. attorney who prosecuted Dennis Troja. And because one of the laws that the U.S. attorney was relying on in the Georgia Thompson case was called into question when an appeals judge overturned her conviction, it made a deal more likely in this case.
Yeah. It's interesting to note, talking about Troja and Georgia Thompson, a Badger poll came out last week. The University of Wisconsin-Madison Survey Center put out a poll, public opinion poll, on the most important issues facing the state of Wisconsin. And apparently, we don't think government corruption is that big of a deal.
Yeah, when you ask people what the big problem is, I mean, I think that's how the question was worded. What's the major problem facing the state? It's not something that jumps to mind for them. You know, if you ask the question in a different way, the poll results might be different. But when you just ask people off the top of their head, it was 2% volunteered government corruption. Whereas, you know, some of the big issues had a much higher response. Taxes was far and away referred to the most. It was something like, 23%?
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare was in sort of a distant second, but it's still at 12%. The economy and jobs were at 11%. Education at 9%. Only 2% of Wisconsinites mentioned government corruption. So they don't think it's that big a deal.
No, we'll talk more about some of those issues. In fact, I'll invite listeners to call in with their thoughts on what is the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin and why, according to you. And we'll ask Sean if what the state legislature, what our state elected officials are doing about those problems. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. According to the Badger poll, taxes, the number one problem facing the state of Wisconsin, followed by health care, then the economy and jobs and education. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. This Badger poll also asked people what they thought about the job Governor Doyle is doing and the state legislature, and apparently were pretty pleased, or at least not upset with the job that both are doing.
Yeah, according to this poll, 52% of Wisconsinites approve of the job that Governor Jim Doyle is doing. 57% of Wisconsinites approve of the legislature. If you break those numbers down a little bit more, the governor got far and away most of his support from Democrats. Republicans didn't like the job he was doing as well. The legislature got support more across the board, but that's to be expected, I suppose, when you have Republicans in control of one chamber and Democrats in control of the other. And actually, something that one of the professors who helped to organize, conduct this survey mentioned was one reason that the legislature may have gotten high marks is because they weren't in session when this poll was conducted.
Well, we don't know. Well, we're not getting a lot of reaction from our callers either as to what they think the most important problem is, or what they think of the Frankenstein veto. Or maybe you can call in with what you think of the job that the legislature or Governor Doyle, what do you think of the job they are doing? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let's talk some, Sean, before we check news, about the headline I saw in the paper yesterday that Senate Democrats will unveil a comprehensive health care reform package this morning. Well, I know we've been talking about various proposals out there, but now there's a proposal ready to be unveiled and have a public hearing on.
Yeah, they have been hinting, you know, all along that this is something that they've been looking at. You go back to, I remember after the governor's budget address, talking to Majority Leader Judy Robson, and said she likes the governor's health care proposals, but they want to do something more to deal with health care costs. And so the day before they vote on the budget, they're going to introduce what they've arrived at. And I believe it's sort of a hybrid of a few healthcare plans that have been circulated around the legislature in recent years. But the gist of it is it would be a pretty hefty payroll tax. $15 billion is one estimate. And that would go to basically cover everybody, whereas the governor's plan sort of catches people who fall through the cracks. This would totally change the system.
Yeah, we only have about 30 seconds to go, but it's going to be funded through a payroll tax. What about the self-employed or the unemployed? What happens? Apparently, though, my payroll taxes will help pay for that.
Yeah, honestly, because we really just don't have that many details in this plan so far. And so I may give you that answer a few times today, but as far as the workings of the plan, I just don't know or what types of exemptions are going to be there. You know, just going off a very vague outline at
all
this
right.
point.
Well, we'll talk more about this comprehensive health care reform proposal that Senate Democrats say they will unveil this morning, coming up after we check the latest news. And we'll talk about other issues facing state government and what the legislature will be up to this week, coming up in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Monday morning, June the 25th, and this is the State Capitol Report. We are talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson about the latest from the state capitol, what our state lawmakers were up to last week, and what we can expect in the week to come. The state budget will be on the agenda, as will health care, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions for Sean about what you want your state lawmaker to be up to, maybe also what you think the most important problem facing Wisconsin is, and we'll find out whether that's being addressed by the state legislature. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Sean, the Senate takes up the budget this week, right?
Senate takes it up tomorrow, right. And so this healthcare plan that we're going to learn about today is presumably going to be tucked into the budget that they're going to pass tomorrow. And with a three-seat majority, Democrats probably have the numbers to do what they want. And that's also going to include putting back a number of the governor's provisions that were taken out in the joint finance process, the committee
like
process. A mandate for autism coverage, for example. Senate Democrats support that. It's something that the governor had in his budget, but that lawmakers took out in order to sort of come to the table and discuss this budget at the joint finance table. They're going to put back money he set aside for renewable energy that was taken out in the joint finance committee. They're going to put back money for bonding for UW dorm projects. That's another thing that was taken out. And benefits for domestic partners. So same-sex partners would be included in that, and this would cover all state employees and university employees. That's something the governor proposed that got taken out. They're going to put it back.
It sounds like there's going to be some fighting going on under the state Capitol Dome.
It sounds like especially with this this health care plan, it tells you it's probably going to be a long summer.
Well, you know, I'm interested, Sean, in how unusual is this? In my casual observation of the state legislature and state government, I don't remember a bill being introduced on a Monday, a public hearing being held a half an hour later, and then have that be put into the state budget the very next day.
You know, a lot of the stuff that gets put in the budget, it just happens at the last minute. There will be budget amendments probably that we don't know about that get passed in this budget tomorrow. It is kind of quick. I mean, Democrats they've held hearings on the idea of health care throughout the state, but they haven't had a specific proposal out there and said, this is what we're going to do. What do you think about it? It's been more like, here's some ideas we're looking at. So it's quick, and it's been whatever they're looking at has been somewhat closely guarded the past few weeks. You know, they've been working on it. You know, they're looking at some idea of universal coverage, but you won't see the full detailed package until today. It is unfortunately how the legislative process works at times.
Hey, we got lots of callers, Sean. Let's see what listeners want to talk about in terms of state issues. First is Roger in Fitchburg. Hi, Roger.
Hi. Well, I think that we ought to throw Republicans out unless they give us quite a bit more than this. I don't think it's either universal or comprehensive, but just a way to use additional taxes to give money to private health insurance to keep them in business.
I'm confused, Roger. What do you mean we ought to throw Republicans out for this?
Well, this is just something in the right direction that Democrats hope to get through, to get some kind of health reform, because the Republicans are opposing any kind of effective single payer, something in the direction of single payer health care. That's far enough in that direction. It will tax labor, cut taxes. Initial proposals of this plan were to cut taxes for corporations, property taxes, and even personal taxes at the higher levels, but add a tax on employees and employers and give that money to private insurance companies, making individuals choose a gamble on which insurance policy they want.
The Democrats are proposing this, but you are blaming Republicans for it.
Well, yes, because they are standing in the way of any effective health reform, I think.
All right. Review quickly again, Sean, what the Senate Democrats want to do with this proposal and how that differs from what Republicans want to do when it comes to health care.
Republicans have always looked at healthcare, at least in the past several years, with more of a market-based approach. You know, with something like health savings accounts, they want to make those tax deductible in Wisconsin, and they feel like people will make smart decisions on their own. You don't need more government programs in their mind. Whereas the Democratic system that the Senate Democrats' proposal that they're going to unveil today is more of totally revamping the system. You have payroll tax on everyone, although there could be exemptions that we don't really know about. And this would be used to have this giant pot of money that basically everyone would be covered, is the idea. So I think it kind of moves toward that single payer system that the caller is talking about. But I mean, he mentioned throwing Republicans out. that's what Democrats are kind of banking on by proposing this now. They want to put it in the budget to force Republicans to talk about it and to force Republicans to take a stand on it one way or another. They'd be perfectly happy in a way if Republicans block this because they feel like they can use that in the elections.
Mm. But then the Republicans can say this is $15 billion worth of new taxes.
Yeah, there you go. And this is something that came up in the Badger survey results last week. The top two issues are taxes and health care. So Republicans have sort of, they're completely banking on the electorate feeling like taxes are the big issue and that the electorate will look at this health care plan as just a giant tax increase. Democrats feel like, you know, people are craving health care reform. And if they provide it and Republicans stand in the way, that's going to help them.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Roger, for the call. Ed in Wausau is with us next. Hi, Ed, you're on the air.
Hi. About a year and a half ago, my local representative, Russ Decker, and also Donna Seidel, had a meeting in Wausau, and they were having meetings in other areas of the state when they were drawing up this plan, I think, and just collecting information from people. I brought up the point that when I first came back to Wisconsin, I was in Minnesota in the Twin City area working at a hospital. When Tony Earle was governor, there were systems in place to control health care costs. And essentially, the Republican legislature did away with all of those things. And that was one big component. In fact, it actually helped hospitals because we were able to use standardized figures and compare costs and figure out with, you know, like your next door neighbor hospital, how they were handling problems. And it really, we really did control health care costs, but that was 30 years ago. And it's unfortunate that stuff was all dropped out. But the plan hasn't received any publicity at all.
And I'm sorry, Ed, I'm confused as to what you're talking about, a plan that Russ Decker had.
At least the Democrats, I think, and some Republicans also, a year and a half ago, were going around the state having meetings.
Right, right.
And, putting ideas together, soliciting ideas from different areas of the state.
Yeah, this has been going on for some time. There's been a lot of talk about reforming health care, right, Sean?
Yeah, and I think that Senator Decker, I want to say he was one of the lead sponsors on one of these bipartisan bills. It could have been the one that AFL-CIO's supporting.
Yeah, there was one that was the AFL-CIO was sponsoring, and then there was one that was more these health savings accounts that I think Republicans were behind. There was one that was Mark Miller now had a single payer of universal health care plan. I mean,
Senator
so there's
Mark
a whole
Miller.
Bunch of different plans, but now what we have here is today Senate Democrats unveiling what could be sort of a conglomeration of,
yeah,
of the best.
Right, sort of a hybrid. It bears a resemblance to one that was developed by the governor's former budget director, the Wisconsin health plan, although, you know, he might differ on that. I'm not sure, but it has some of those elements to it in that you would still have some type of a choice as to what insurer you go with.
Yeah. We're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about what our state government is up to. Right now we're talking about Senate Democrats unveiling today a comprehensive health care reform package that they are dubbing Healthy Wisconsin. There's going to be an unveiling of this proposal today, this morning, Senate Parlor, 10:30, in case you want to run over there. And there will be a public hearing on it. We're also talking about other items that are going to be included into the state budget that the state Senate tomorrow will be taking up. And we're welcoming your questions about the issues that are most important to you. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, June the 25th. Coming up after 8, I'm going to talk with a former U.S. Marine who is now a reporter for Al Jazeera International. Sound odd? Well, he's got an interesting story to tell, and we'll hear it after 8 o'clock. We're talking with Sean Johnson during this hour. He is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. This is our state capitol report. Every Monday at this time, we review what our lawmakers are up to at the state capitol and preview the week ahead. It's going to be a hot day today and for the next couple of days, and it's going to be probably pretty hot at the state capitol as well as the state senate takes up the state budget tomorrow. And probably will include a proposal for health care reform, universal health care coverage in that budget. Let's go to the phones and take our next caller, Nelson in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I want to go back to the issue of corruption. I think it's interesting to note that, the real story behind Georgia Thompson is that the U.S. attorney was trying to shake loose information about bigger fish. I mean, it just jumps right off the page. And here, Troja, although he's gotten reduced charges and so forth, has accepted immunity to testify. So evidently, Biskupic thinks he has baited the, caught a bigger fish. And I think we're going to hear a lot more about corruption and wonder what you and your guests think about that.
Yeah. Will we hear a lot more about corruption, Sean?
Hey, I think you always hear about corruption. Yeah, I don't think it's something that goes away, and it sort of comes in cycles. I'm not sure that Dennis Troja is a bigger fish in terms of the Georgia Thompson case. I'm not sure that how related his was.
Very briefly, Dennis Troja was accused of exceeding campaign donation limits by fudging stuff, right, and giving more than he should have to candidates, including Governor Doyle.
He had a business set up where he made loans to family members, and those family members turned around immediately and gave the exact same amount to the National Democratic Party or George Bush or, Governor Doyle. And so it was a way for him to skirt campaign finance laws. And the plea deal that was reached basically said that because he was so active in campaigns, was well aware of the rules around them, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. And was Biskupic, the federal prosecutor in Milwaukee, the person going after
U.S. Troja? Attorney Stephen Biskupic was the federal prosecutor. He's the same person who went after Georgia Thompson in the Edelman travel investigation. But it's a different case.
Georgia Thompson, it turned out, was cleared of her charges from the three-judge panel, saying there really wasn't any evidence to really convict her of what she was convicted of. And she was not doing anything wrong, according to that panel. And Dennis Troja was doing something wrong, according to his own admission.
I mean, he pleaded guilty. This is an agreement that he was guilty of these charges.
Yeah. Thank you, Nelson, for the call. We're going to move on to some other callers. Mike in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I believe the biggest problem threatening our state and our people is the excessive spending on subsidizing motor vehicle driving, such as highway construction expansion and fuel burning, which are causing resource depletion, air pollution, global warming. And we have an unwillingness by our state government representatives to do something in a timely basis to reduce driving and motor vehicle fuel burning.
Yeah. What do you want to see them do, Mike?
Well, we need to encourage less driving by rewarding people who don't drive as much, essentially. And there was a proposal back by the DNR about 5 years ago that got quashed, but now we're seeing the results of encouraging more and more motor vehicle driving through our state spending.
Sean, is there anything in the state budget or anything else that deals with too much motor vehicle driving and emissions?
Well, if it's Mike's belief that when you spend more and more on roads and expand roads throughout the state, that that leads to more people driving. There's not good news for him in this budget because it expands roads funding, and it does so through that oil tax that the governor proposed. You're actually going to see more road funding coming into this budget, coming in at a higher rate than it has in the past, even without an automatic increase in the gas tax. If this oil tax goes through, it's a lot of new road spending, and it's certainly much more than you see for public transportation, something that that Mike might want. Although you may see authorization for a rental car fee in Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee counties added to the Democratic budget, and that would establish a rail line through there, but that's not a statewide project.
Mm-hmm. The oil tax, that's something that the Republicans are opposing. They don't want to tax the big oil companies because they fear somehow this will be passed on to consumers?
Yeah, that or it'll end up in court. I think it's one or the other. Either if it gets passed on to consumers, and the governor said that it can't be put in a provision where you can't pass this on, it'd be a 5 to 7 cent per gallon increase in the gas tax, basically. But if the law holds up on that, if oil companies follow the law, it will be challenged in court, and this could get thrown out, and the transportation funding could kind of be up in the air for a while if it were tossed out.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't deal specifically with automobile emissions, but I'm kind of catching you off guard here, Sean. Is there any? I mean, there is stuff with renewable energy or green legislation that will be a part of the state budget.
Yeah, and this is something that the Democrats are going to add back tomorrow. The governor's plan for $30 million for renewable energy projects. This could one of the projects that one Democratic senator wants to add would create a cellulosic ethanol plant, the first one in northern Wisconsin, where you make ethanol from forest debris, for example. So there's money in there, or there will be. We'll see what comes out of the final compromise project, though.
Thanks, Mike, for the call. Julie in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I wanted to call and say I was happy to hear about one thing that got into the budget bill. Representative Corey Mason managed to get money put into the bill for black infant mortality in our state. Wisconsin's among the worst infant mortality in the country currently. Racine County has the highest rate, and Milwaukee County actually has higher numbers. But from a public health perspective, I think it's really a positive step forward that our government is looking at ways to address this longstanding problem.
Yeah. What is going to be put in the budget for that purpose, Julie?
Well, there's a certain amount of money earmarked, and maybe Sean has more specifics. But in the past, Wisconsin hasn't had any specific money that's been set to address this issue, and we are there's a couple southern states that are worse than Wisconsin, but we're looking at different public health strategies to impact this, and Representative Mason has been really on the forefront of pushing this issue.
In fact, I know just because we had a news release and we were discussing it on Friday, there is some sort of town hall meeting today on this issue, I believe, in Racine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's actually right. That's where I'm on my way to today. But I'm just really happy as a public health professional to see these sorts of issues coming to light and being addressed.
Yeah. Thank you very much for pointing that out. So Julie's thinks infant mortality and the high infant mortality rate in Wisconsin and Racine County, I guess, leads the pack is an important issue. And apparently this might be addressed with the state budget.
This is something that had it's less than $1 million. And it's a study that's focused specifically on Racine County. And that's something that got bipartisan agreement when it went through the committee process. Mm-hmm. So that's something you may actually end up seeing in the final product.
Thank you, Julie. Carol in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I agree with the caller who said that the cars and the transportation should have an improvement, such as I think bus service should be made more convenient during rush hours in Milwaukee, but that isn't why I called. I called to say that I think that technology is very costly, and nobody is talking about controlling the but this is federal, but NIH, they keep going forward on technology, and it becomes more and more costly.
You're talking about healthcare technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes more and more costly to go to the hospital.
Yeah, we only have about a minute, Sean. This plan is to provide healthcare coverage for Wisconsin residents that the Democrats will be unveiling today. Do we know, or are there other proposals to try to do things to limit the cost or the rising costs of healthcare?
I think Democrats see this as the plan to limit costs. They feel like if you're going to really address costs, you got to do it in a big way. And so that's why they're coming out with this. The governor has something in his budget that would basically offer financial incentives for, or financial help for having electronic medical records for hospitals and other health institutions.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to have to leave it there for now, and we'll get an update next week on how this health care plan fares with the state Senate this week. Thanks, Sean, for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Thanks to Leo Duran and Christina Taylor for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.